One, two, three.
Welcome to Highest Potential with Steve Pettit, a podcast that explores how Bob Jones University empowers individuals to reach their highest potential for God's glory. I'm one of your hosts, Max Burak, and I'm joined today by the president of Bob Jones University, Dr. Steve Pettit. How are you today, Doc?
Hey, I'm doing great, Max. Wow, it's your senior year, not too long before you graduate.
A few months.
You're moving on. We've really enjoyed having you here, and thank you for being a part of this podcast. We're very excited. This is really a relaunch from last semester because we started out, learned a lot of really good and important things. And so we're very, very excited about what we're going to be doing now with this podcast.
Me too. Well, last week, Doc, it was announced that Dr. Sam Horn would become the next president of the Master's University and Seminary out in California following the end of this academic semester. Obviously, this is bittersweet news to a lot of people. I personally am very excited for him, but also was very sad to hear this news. But we're excited to see how God uses him in the future over there. So give us some of your thoughts maybe on this announcement and how it came to be.
Well, I was a part of Sam's process throughout this. And in this interview, you will hear the story. And one of the things I'm really excited about is that I believe that Sam's story and his experience is actually a great illustration and example of how God often leads in people's lives and what's the process of learning and discovering God's will for your life. So as we'll listen in here for the interview, we'll hear how it is that the Lord led in Sam Horn's life.
Well, great. Let's listen in now on your discussion with Dr. Sam Horn.
Well, we're so glad to have Dr. Sam Horn today in my office. Sam, thanks for coming.
Doc, thanks for having me. This is a great honor.
Well, we are excited for you and what God's done in your life or what God is doing in your life. And so I know a lot of people are really interested in hearing the story of this process of your becoming the new president of the Master's University and Seminary in Santa Clarita, California. And we all think it's unique, so we just want to hear your story. So I'd like to begin just kind of letting you tell us a little bit about your educational background, your ministry background, and then tell us a little bit of how you got to Bob Jones and what your job was.
Well, I think that's a big part of the story, actually, because as you look back, as I look back, especially over this, but I think even in your case, when God was moving you into this role, there's a convergence of all the things that God has done in your life to kind of prepare you for the role that God has for you. And in my case, it came along two pathways. One pathway was an academic higher ed pathway where I served as a administrator at Bob Jones University. I was on the faculty. I was part of a startup of the School of Ongoing Education here.
And this was back in what, the late 80s?
This would have been in the late 80s all the way up through 1996. So back then it was called the Division of Extended Education, and it now is our scope. Mm-hmm. So that is really expanded. And then I was also on the administrative team at Northland International University, back then North Baptist Bible College. I went as the academic vice president and then served as the executive vice president there. And then I did a stint at Central Baptist Theological Seminary as the president of that seminary. And in every one of those assignments, I got skills. I had experiences that I didn't fully understand at the time how they would all glove together.
Yeah, so you're just taking one step as God opens the doors, take it, and then Max the most out of it.
You serve in the room God puts you, and then all of a sudden God opens a door. Sometimes he leaves you in that room for a really long time. Sometimes he opens a door, and you know when he's opening that door. So I was also had the opportunity to be a part of a couple of startup colleges and universities internationally, one in Monterrey, Mexico, another in Zambia, Africa with Phil Hunt. and then was part of helping a Bible Institute become a Bible college on the island of Guam. So I had those experiences that came together over a 30-year period of time. So that was one path that the Lord had. The other path was the pastoral, the church path, the preaching path. And I served as a youth pastor up in Johnson City, Tennessee, Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. I worked on the youth staff there, learned all about children's ministry, actually ran the bus ministry for them for a while. And then I was privileged to be sort of a church revitalizer in Pelzer, South Carolina, a little church called Christ Memorial Bible Church. I got to be an associate pastor in Anderson, South Carolina at the Victory Baptist Church, and then had a wonderful ministry at Brookside Baptist Church in Wisconsin. You were a part of that as the staff evangelist.
Yes, and it was wonderful days and an unusual blessing from God.
And all of that converged in part of what God had for me. My academic training, earning a Master of Arts in Bible and a PhD in New Testament interpretation, and then eventually going out to the Master's Seminary in 2004 and working on a D-Min and expository preaching, not understanding how all of that would eventually come together.
So you have a PhD from Bob Jones.
I do.
And a D-Min from Master's.
From the Master's Seminary. And both of those experiences were life-changing for me and preparatory for the role I find myself in. And then when you came to Bob Jones as the fifth president, I came shortly behind to be initially over the ministry side of things, the seminary, the School of Religion, and then we added a new Center for Global Opportunities for the engagement of a gospel culture here.
Right.
We added thought leadership to that, and then about a year into it, you asked me to take enrollment. And I knew nothing formally about enrollment. I knew how to recruit a student.
Yeah, you're the master recruiter, that's for sure.
But I didn't realize all that went into enrollment and the marketing side of things. And so for about the next 24 months, I went on a crash course to learn enrollment. And I had some wonderful teachers in both of those divisions. And God raised up wonderful leaders in both of those divisions in the ministerial advancement and also in the enrollment. And over the last number of years that we've been together here, I think the Lord's really blessed those efforts.
No doubt about it. I think the enrollment is, I know you so well, Sam, is that you always are at your best when you're making somebody else's success. That is one of the greatest qualities you have. And I saw you rebuild our enrollment department, and how you empowered those people down there has been awesome. And tell us a little bit about the growth of the seminary and the undergrad Bible program.
Well, as you know, when you came and then when I followed, those programs were in pretty serious decline. And a lot of that just had to do with the changing face of how ministry happens and how ministry training is delivered. When you and I came through in the 80s, you know, the way that you went into ministry was you went to an undergrad program in Bible or in ministry, and then eventually you might have gone to seminary. Today, the pathway is much more seminary-based, and a lot of parents are a little reticent to send a son or daughter off to study Bible or counseling at 18 years of age and looking at a $40,000 to $80,000 bill for that. And so we really had to get creative about how to rebuild both of those programs. And there were three leaders that came into play that really, really enabled the turnaround. I have learned watching you and others that I've had the privilege of serving that God uses people. We can have plans, you know, and we should have plans and processes, but at the end of the day, it comes down to people. And so there were three people that God used, actually a fourth, if you think of the Center for Global Opportunities. One of them was Neil Cushman over the seminary. There was Nathan Crockett over ministry training and Kevin Oberlin over the School of Religion. And then we had Mark Vowles, who began working on the Center for Global Opportunities. And those men came together regularly with me, and we would pray and we would plan and we would talk about ministry training for hours. Mm. I mean, we come up here at night and we would just sit and we would lay out our plans, and God really honored those plans. There were new majors that came into hybrid majors that came in on the undergrad level. sort of a refocusing and retooling of high demand programs on the seminary side. And over the course of time, God has honored in both of those cases.
And we've grown what the most latest reports are.
So in our seminary, this semester, we had 75 new students come in, wow, which is a record for us. That put us over 400. So there are over 400 people actively engaged in a program in our seminary. And there are about 270 in our undergrad program. And then the biggest thing is our ministry chapel, which is, yes, in essence, people who are in other majors who have said to us, we're headed to ministry, our life is pointing in that way, and we have over 600 people in those ministry chapels.
Wonderful.
So there's about 800 individual people on the campus of Bob Jones University who have indicated an openness to heading into some aspect of, right, vocational ministry.
And I hope that that will always be our heartbeat. Well, tell me, how. Let's start with how everything began with the stirring in your heart to where you are today.
Well, I think I could say that the initial, looking back, you know, looking back on it, trying to figure out how did I end up here, you can see God already beginning to work a year ago in October on my birthday. I was 55 years old, and my dad called me for my birthday. And my dad, if you know my dad, he is a humble, godly, quiet man, and he rarely ever gives me ministry advice. But for some reason, he felt really compelled to just say to me that he felt like there was another step coming in my life. I didn't know what to make of that. I didn't quite know how to respond to that. And so I dismissed that. And then over the next 6 months, God began to just do things. I think one of the people who said it to me best was, it seems that God may be stirring your nest a little bit. I'm not sure I really understood that metaphor, but over the summer, Beth went to study in Spain. She's finishing her graduate hours in Spanish, and so she went to study for 5 weeks in Spain. Actually, was gone 6 weeks. And so I spent 6 weeks by myself at camp, and it was a great time for just praying and reflecting and going before the Lord. And there were specific things that God began to do in my life. And I could sum it all this way. Trust in the Lord. Humble yourself. Be submitted to God. Be content in His appointment with you. Delight yourself in the Lord. I mean, I could sit here and give you sermons that I have in my Bible with dates next to them where God was just alerting me that I was His servant, and that the main thing I needed to worry about was to be humble and to be sensitive to His leadings.
Yes, it's what it is for all of God's people, regardless of the stage and age where you're living for God, and that's a powerful testimony. So tell me how the initial contact was made.
So we began our school year, Give yourself to what you're doing. Put your hand to the plow. And you know we have a very aggressive enrollment goal. And so all of my energies and all of my efforts were focused that way. And then on October 12th, I got an email from a gentleman named Jim Barnes. And that email changed my life, as you well know. I got home. I hadn't had time to read it. And I got home and I was sitting down with Beth, and I opened up the email, and I literally laughed out loud because it was an email from the search firm that the Masters University and Seminary had hired to find their next president. Dr. John MacArthur had stepped down from being the president, and they were mounting a national search. And so I looked at that email, and I looked at Beth, and I said, can't believe that they're asking me to come and, or at least to be considered for this.
So basically your response was?
It didn't make any sense to me because I got a degree from them in 2007. And then my world has pretty much been at Central Seminary or here. And so there hasn't been really a lot of contact. I know people out there and I'm thankful for the friendships. But I just had no idea.
So what was your response?
I told you, I laughed.
Right,
I told Beth, we're going to pray. And then I wrote a really kind letter, took about a week to pray. And I wrote a really kind letter email and said, really, Beth and I are not interested in pursuing this. And we gave our reasons, our family, our ministry here, et cetera. I thought if I ever leave Bob Jones, I'm going to go back into the pastorate.
Right.
So I dismissed it. And
this is early October.
This is early October. And I had a conversation up at Bethel when we were up doing a pizza with Pettit. And then I just went on. And about a couple of weeks later, in mid-November, I got a second email or a series of emails from Jim saying things like, Sam, I don't normally do this. I don't want to be the Holy Spirit in your life, but we are getting your name from various places now, and we think you're uniquely qualified for this role. They were looking for someone who had a degree from the seminary or the university. They were looking for someone who had higher ed experience, who had worked at a university and who had run a seminary or had experience with a seminary. And they were looking for someone who had pastored. And so I ticked all of those boxes. I found out later there were, I think, 47 names that they had considered. But anyway, I was confronted now with a major decision that I had to make.
So how did you why would you be interested in this? I mean, or what is it that happened to you?
So as I was talking to Beth about this and giving her all the reasons why I didn't think this was something that we should do, she said to me, everything that is coming out of your mouth is fear.
Oh, the blessed voice of one's wife.
And
who
I
speaks the truth.
And she was actually speaking the truth to me. She actually said, you've led our family for 33 years. Beth and I have been married. And she said, you've led our family to walk by faith. And this is one of the few times in your life that I've heard you talk with so much fear. Why is it you don't want to consider this? And of course, there were many reasons, but I ended up calling Jim Barnes back, and we had a long talk. And I just laid out for him all of my wrestle points, all of the tensions, all
now,
of the dilemma.
Now, was this before you came to my office and talked to me?
This is before I came to your office, because he said to me, one of the big deals for me was I get to work with my best friend. And I told him that. He goes, well, why don't you go talk to your best friend who happens to be your boss, and just ask him. So we had already talked initially, so I came in and sat down and just laid all of this before you. And the process was you had to agree to turn in your resume and a letter authorizing them to you push that forward to the search committee. Then they were going to narrow down to, I think, 10 possible names, and then they were going to select a few to come out to California for a first interview, out of which they would then select two that would go to the board in February, and one of them would be selected to be the president. So when you and I talked, there were a lot of off ramps ahead. There was safety. And right. So, you know, you and I prayed together. You gave me some great counsel. And I realized it was a sobering thing. So I went home. This would have been a Thursday and a Friday. I just wrestled. I mean, Beth was ready to kick me out of the house. I was just wrestling with this. And so we went to church on Sunday. Our church, this was the Sunday before Thanksgiving. Our church had a breakfast that morning. And we were getting ready on Saturday night. And I said, so what time do you want to leave the house to go to church? He goes, well, our church is having a breakfast. I was like, honey, I need a sermon. And so we went and visited a church. It's one of the things that I do, you know, oftentimes. Right. So we went to a church, never been there before, and the pastor opened up to 1 Kings 19, and he told the story, read the account of Elijah calling Elisha to follow him, and Elisha pretty much says, can I go home and attend to my parents? The idea of kissing my mom and dad is attending to my parents. And Elijah just looks at him and says, you know what God's called you to do. So he burns his plow, he sacrifices his oxen, and he follows. And then the pastor said, these aren't his direct words, but they're pretty close. He says, what I'm about to say next is probably going to offend some of you all here in this room, but there's some of you that God is asking to take a step of faith, and you're not willing to do it because you don't trust God. You want to see the whole thing in a guarantee before you take a step of faith.
Bam.
And that was an arrow to my heart. Steve, I don't usually cry a lot in sermons, but I was in tears.
Wow.
I knew God was calling us to do this. So I sent my resume in, and I gave the letter, sent the letter, and I went off to Zambia for my weekly annual trip there that I do with the college that we're a part of.
When did they contact you back?
I didn't hear anything till mid-December. It was the right toward the end of, right before we let our students go, and I got a call from Jim saying the search committee would like to interview you as one of the interviews. And so that interview took place on January 17th.
So you flew out there.
I flew out there. So that was my next point. I was one of, four people they wanted to interview. And by the time I got there, they had three interviews that day. I was the last interview. And I left the room. I answered a lot of questions about my theology. They take the doctrinal statement very, very seriously, which I appreciate. We went line by line through the doctrinal statement.
Yeah, it seemed to me that they're great. Their number one top priority, apart from the integrity of the individual, is their commitment to the doctrinal purity.
And they take the theological integrity and doctrinal fidelity of the institutions extremely, extremely seriously, which I appreciated. So I got through with my interview. They wanted to know about my salvation. They wanted to know about how I would present the gospel. They wanted to know about my ministry history, my academic training, and it was a wonderful time. I didn't know anybody in the room except Jim, I finished my interview, and I left the room, and I went to dinner with Jim that night, and I wasn't about to say anything about the interview. I didn't want to bring it up. I felt like I had pleased the Lord. So we had dinner, had a wonderful time getting to know Jim. And we were walking back to the hotel, and he looked over at me and he goes, "So how do you think the interview went?" And I said, "Well, Jim, I really don't know how to judge that. From my perspective, I felt like I connected well with the people. They put me at ease." And I said, "When I walked out of the door, I felt like I had pleased the Lord." And he says, "Well, I think the interview went very well." He's a guy that's done 50 of these searches.
Wow.
And he said, "I feel like the interview went well." I got back to my hotel room, and the chairman of the board called me that night and said, "Can I come over and talk to you?" I had an early flight the next morning. And so I did. We met, and he said the board unanimously, the search committee, we haven't been unanimous on anybody, unanimously has decided to move forward with you. I'm thinking to the next step, two candidates.
I see.
"But we want you to visit with John MacArthur, so can you come back next weekend?" Well, I had next weekend free. So I came back and found out that I was the candidate. That's kind of when I panicked.
This is the next weekend.
This is the next week when I panicked. And I remember getting up that morning, finding out, thinking that this train has departed. And I read in my devotions for that day, Luke 1, where Mary says, after the angel announces this huge upheaval in her life, she said, "Behold, I am the Lord's servant. Be it unto me according to thy word."
You know, this is important because everybody wants to know the Lord's will. And I think of the scripture says, "I being in the way, the Lord led me." I have to be walking with God in the way day by day, and the Lord leads me. It's not like I'm going to get a spiritual zap if I'm not walking in the way. So I being in the way, the Lord led me.
Well, and he leads through his word. He leads through the word. He leads through providential circumstance. He leads through wise counsel. And I had sought the counsel of my pastor, and I had sought your counsel. And of course, there were others, but I had determined in the Lord that if my pastor or my authority had a red flag or even a yellow flag, I wasn't going to go forward. And so I think that's an important part of the story, is just realizing how God unfolded this. So I remember coming in here on Wednesday. It was the opening service, and I realized this was way past where I thought it was. And I remember sitting in the very chair I'm sitting in, sort of overwhelmed, just telling you some of the reasons why I didn't feel qualified to go there. And then we went to dinner with the speaker for the opening services that night, and you and I were on the platform. I had to pray that night. And we were sitting there, and it was Aaron Coffey, and he opened up his Bible to Exodus 3 and 4, and he just rehearsed out of Moses' mouth many of the reasons that I had given you from this chair. And it was, again, just, I have them written down in my Bible. Just, again, the Lord piercing me.
Well, the spiritual people walk in light of the Word, and God gives direction. So you got out there with the bigger, longer weekend. So just give us a brief synopsis of
that.
Well,
the search committee was wonderful. They were unanimous. The rest of the board had a lot of questions. I was an unknown, am an unknown. One of the things I walked away with was the sobering responsibility of stepping into a role that that people have given their lives to. I mean, you felt that when you came to be the president here. I don't think I could have ever appreciated it until it happened to me, where all of a sudden you're sitting there realizing, in the providence of God, I'm being asked to consider a role that is going to affect the lives of a lot of people. So I really respected the board for asking all of the questions they did. And they asked some pretty tough questions.
Now, I know they did talk to you a lot about Bob Jones, and they had a certain picture of Bob Jones, and I think you gave them a little bit of a different picture.
Yeah, they had, I think over the years, Bob Jones, they were operating off of a picture of Bob Jones that is certainly no longer true today, and that had been in the past. And so it was just a providential way for God to really bring to light some of the wonderful things that he's allowed you and others here to do. And I think that has been incredibly, they've expressed it on their end. I saw it, and I'm just real excited about, you know, what the opportunities ahead might be. And so this past weekend, Beth and I went out there, and the board voted unanimously on Friday and asked me to accept the presidency of the Master's University and Seminary.
So here's the question. How did you feel when they asked you to do that?
I felt overwhelmed. I felt terrified. But I felt very, very confident that God wanted me to do this. And I had all of these verses that I could go back to and say, Lord, whatever happens here, however this proceeds forward, as long as you are with me, I'm willing to do this.
So give us a quick, it's hard to say right now, but give us a maybe really short vision for the future there at Masters.
They have a really good vision that has been established here by John MacArthur for 35 years. It's really crystal clear, and it's around a set of values. And those values are the absolute inerrancy and authority of Scripture, the supremacy of Christ, the centrality of the church, and the advancement of the gospel. And one of the primary means for that is through expository preaching. So those values really shape both of those institutions.
So they're really aligned with our thinking and what we're trying to do.
I think so, yes. They're extremely passionate about those things. And so the vision would be to strengthen those things, to strengthen the institutions, so that if the Lord gives us another 35 years, we would be continuing to put out graduates who value those things in the church.
Right.
And that's a really big piece of what they're doing. They are real clear on training people, lay people, business people, to be good ministers and good church people.
Well, it's definitely a perfect fit for you and your vision. So what's going to be your takeaway from the last 6 years here at Bob Jones?
The sweetness of laboring together in ministry with people that God brings into your life. I think of the friendships I've made here. So that's one. Two, the importance of empowering people. I think when I left here in 1986, my view of ministry was I got to go out and be the leader. I got to go out and do it. And I came back here a very different person because of what I experienced through Les Olala and Northland Baptist Bible College and things that you and I went through together. And I just came back realizing my role is to actually serve and empower people to go out and do the work of the ministry and actually get credit for it. And so I think that's a very different lesson for me.
It's a big lesson.
So that would be a second takeaway. And then the third takeaway would just be the incredible importance of institutions of higher education that are thoroughly Christian and are delivering a biblical worldview in the days ahead. I think those takeaways, and then just watching the power of God to do what we can't do.
Well, I have one last question, It should be a fairly simple answer, and that is, will you ever come back and preach for us again?
Absolutely, as soon as you ask me.
Well, we will make that something we'll do. I know our faculty love you and our students. I've already had students talk to me about it. So you're going to be greatly missed. As I've said to a lot of people, there's only one Sam Horn in captivity, so there's not another one out there. So we can't replace you. Or the response, or your relation, or the, especially the relationships, but we'll have other people cover the responsibility, and hopefully that God will bless both institutions and go forward. So thank you, Sam.
Thank you, and Lord bless you. Amen.
Thank you. Well, I'd like to thank Sam for the wonderful interview, and we're excited for his future, and we'll definitely be praying for his success as he goes to the Master's University and Seminary. Well, we have our second host here today, and that's Miss Caroline Smith from Sherrall, South Carolina, who is a senior engineering major and is getting married in 92 days.
And she's pretty excited about it.
I would think you would be. Well, Caroline, this week is Bible Conference. And it's a big deal here at Bob Jones. Just tell us a little bit about Bible Conference Week.
Yeah, well, it's gotten here a lot sooner this year than I was expecting it to. It's usually, you know, about a third in. And it's just a week where we take off of classes and really focus on having some really awesome speakers in here and just really soaking the student body in God's Word and good preaching.
Well, you know, I think one of the things that at least I've observed being here as the president is that our students actually do look forward to the week, and they really do get engaged spiritually. We have a wonderful theme this year. It's entitled The God of All Comfort, and it's something that, of course, everybody needs. And we have some outstanding speakers. We have Pastor Kerry Schmidt from Newington, Connecticut. We have Dr. Marty Heron from Faith Baptist Bible College in Iowa. And we have Evangelist Morris Gleiser, those three that will be here. And then along with that, we have Dr. Bob Jones III. And we're really thankful for his ministry here with us at Bob Jones. And especially, I think he's going to be able to speak to the hearts of people, especially about comfort and the fact that his beloved wife passed away a year ago. And then we actually have two very unique testimonies for our student body coming up on Friday. And it's two young ladies. One graduated from Bob Jones 5 years ago, and the other one is actually a senior in college, and both of them lost their husbands in tragedies. And so I believe they'll be able to give a testimony that will really surely help everyone understand how it is that God comforts us. So we're very excited about the whole week. And Caroline, you're being a student. Tell us what the students are doing, and what is it that, what big event are they working towards?
Yeah, well, Bible Conference always comes with a really big Bible Conference fundraiser where it's gotten to change a lot over while I've been here. But this year we're working towards getting a new bus for Save the Storks, which is a, how do you say that?
It's a mobile medical unit.
Mobile medical unit for kind of working with crisis pregnancy centers where they can help women that are considering getting an abortion or just have an unexpected pregnancy that they don't know how to handle. And they can help them get an ultrasound and get set up with centers that can help them, one, decide to choose life, and two, help them with what comes after that when they do make that decision, especially for women that are facing a situation where they don't have a lot of help.
Well, one of the things that I'm excited about this offering just simply is the enthusiasm of our students, just the sheer amount of fundraising that is going on. So by the end of the week, I'm pretty sure that all of us will be broke, but we're excited about the opportunity. So we are purchasing through a pro-life organization called Save the Storks, a medical mobile unit, and we are going to donate it to the Carolina Pregnancy Center in Spartanburg, South Carolina. And it's a $150,000 project. So if you are interested in giving, you can give to Bob Jones University and just Wright Stork Bus, and it's a tax-exempt gift. And so we're thankful for the folks that are already giving, and we're looking really forward to fulfilling what I think is a great burden of our student body, and that is a strong pro-life position. And I say that because in the world that we're living in today, to be a part of a university where the bulk of your students believe in the power of God's word, and they believe in a life position that God starts life at conception. This is a big deal for us, so we're pretty excited about it. So, Caroline, thank you so much for being with us here and looking forward to the rest of the semester.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, this has been Highest Potential with Steve Pettit. To learn more about how Bob Jones University can make a difference in your life, be sure to visit bju.edu or follow BJU on social media at bjuedu. And while you're at it, be sure to follow Dr. Pettit on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at BJU President. And you can make sure that you never miss an episode of this podcast by subscribing on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you happen to want to get your podcasts. And while you're there, you can be sure to leave us a very positive review. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you next week.